I would say dismiss the youth, but we don't have any youth. Well, everybody's young at heart in here, so that'll work for me. Sound like Darth Vader behind this mask, breathing heavy. Turn your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your great mercy and grace that you just poured upon us. Thank you for the people that are here today, but also thank you for the people who will be watching or listening to it later. The biggest thing that we are praying for is the safety of your family, of the bride of Christ. We don't pray for them to be taken out of the world, but to be shining lights and examples to the world around them. That we honor you with how we live our lives and how we conduct ourselves. That is the spiritual sacrifice that you want from us. Lord, we just pray that we continue to do the things you ask of us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Adjust that guy a little bit. Breathing heavy. I was also informed that I go a little fast. So I decided not to mark my Bible where the verses are at. So when I say we're going to go here, I'll be just maybe not as slow, slower. So it gives everybody time to find the verse that they need. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. You know, brothers, that our visit to you was not a failure. We had previously suffered and been insulted in Philippi, as you know. But with the help of our God, we dare to tell you his gospel in spite of strong opposition. For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. On the contrary, we speak as men approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please men, but God, who tests our hearts. You know we never use flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. Kind of sounds appropriate. God is our witness. We were not looking for praise from men, not from you or anyone else. Brothers, you know of our previous visit to you was not a failure. And it wasn't. I don't even think you really have to turn the page, but go back to chapter 1, verse 2. We always thank God for all of you in Thessalonians, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you because of our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and a deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake and you became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit, so that you became models to all believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith is in God has become known everywhere. That's a great result. That's an awesome result. So he says, hey, our hardship, our coming to you, was not without result. And that's the result that you want. Many years ago, this church, my wife and I, were part of the Billy Graham Crusade when they came to town. Many, many years ago. I think at least 20, maybe 22 years ago, 21, 22 years ago. And when they announced that they were coming to town, they had classes and seminars 3 weeks prior to them coming to town. They had churches, and they organized churches to pray for the crusade. They organized people to get together to be able to witness, make sure that they were on the right track to witness to the people that needed help. Because when they did the when Billy Graham did the altar call, everybody coming forward, those people needed help knowing what the gospel really meant. What that decision that they were making at that time, what did it really mean? And you were to link them up with other churches in their neighborhood. You weren't supposed to sit there and they told them not to advertise their church in particular. It was mainly the gospel. And these people were finding a Bible-believing, Bible-leading church. That took preparation. It just doesn't happen. Same thing with Paul. I'm sure when Paul was traveling from Philippi to Thessalonica, he prayed that his trip to Thessalonica would be fruitful. I'm sure he prayed about that. I'm sure he had other people praying about that. I mean, you're walking on your way. You don't have your Walkman. You may be talking to other people, but probably even just praying out loud as you're walking along, praising God as you're walking along. Because that was his main business. That was his main job. Story goes that there was a drought season. And two farmers praying for rain. First farmer got out there and he started praying for rain and praying for the rain to come so he can take care of his fields and the crops would grow. Second farmer prayed for rain. Then he got out there and plowed his fields, turned the soil, planted the crop. Which farmer stepped out in faith? The second farmer. Why? He prayed for rain. And he got everything ready. He got everything ready for his crops to grow. Got everything ready so that there would be a fruitful harvest. And that's what we do. We pray, again, with the Billy Graham Crusade, again, many years ago, we prayed. We didn't know if there was going to be 100 people, 1,000 people, 20 people. It didn't matter. We were preparing the soil, and we're praying for a fruitful harvest. And that's what we do here. That's what we do at Valley Christian. We do have prayer on every other Wednesday, half hour, starting at 6:30. But we are preparing our fields for a harvest. We're praying for rain. And that's not the end of the story. What was read in the book of John talked about pruning. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. And he cuts off every branch that does not produce fruit. If I do not prune and trim my grapevines, kind of grows wild and does not produce a whole lot of fruit. I go out there and I trim off, well, they call them the sucker vines, that they grow leaves and everything, but they do not produce any fruit. And they suck and sap the energy of the vine producing fruits. Go out there and trim it back, and I usually get, if I do it just right, I usually get a lot of cluster of grapes, and they come out very, very sweet. And then your family steals them because you pluck all the things off and you just have a bunch of grapes there, and you just scoop them up hand by hand and you start eating them, and you reap the rewards of your labor. And that's what God does to us. We are the vine. And he prunes things away, takes things away that does not produce fruit, that does not produce for the kingdom of God. And what we produce for the kingdom of God, he used vine, grapevine. And what we produce is sweet. When there was a sacrifice to God, it was a sweet-smelling aroma. And that's what this is. It's something sweet. It's for God. It's a sacrifice. cuts away every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes. Go to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 18. Isaiah 18, 5. For before the harvest, when the blossom is gone and the flower becomes a ripened grape, he will cut off shoots with pruning knives, and he cuts down and take away the spreading branches. Doesn't leave it there. Doesn't leave it hanging on. You cut, or you barely miss cutting, or you don't cut completely the branch off the vine, you'll see it a day or two later. A day later, you'll see it because the leaves are starting to wilt. A couple days later, you'll see that it turns brown and it's dying on the vine. It's still trying to sap energy from it, but it's dying. We need to abide on the vine. Jesus said he's the vine. We're the branches. Well, how do we produce fruit? I've never heard a tree or seen a grape, a fruit tree or a grape vine, struggle to produce fruit. You don't hear it creaking and groaning, like it's straining, like it's trying to, it doesn't. It does it naturally because it's abiding. The tree's abiding with the trunk, and you got the branches. Also the vine, the grapevine, the stem, the branches are just abiding. They're staying in the Word of God. So they're there. They should be producing fruit. Sometimes you can have a large cluster of grapes. Sometimes you can have a small cluster. But it's still producing fruit. And that's what we're called to do. Are you being fruitful? Are you living the Word of God? Go to Acts. Paul talking about strong opposition. Go to the book of Acts. Acts 16. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and then Romans. Acts 16. This is the strong opposition that Paul was talking about. And actually, let's go right to, I was going to say 19 to 24, but let's do 16. Once they were going to the place of prayer, they were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days, and finally Paul became so troubled that he turned around and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." And at that moment, the spirit left her. Now, some translations will sit there and say, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you a way." She was Greek. And at the time, the agnostics, the Greeks, were, there was many different ways to get to heaven. They weren't saying the way, but it said a way. What's wrong with advertisement? She was actually giving free advertisement for Paul and his companions about talking about the Most High God. Careful who you associate with. Always be careful. That's what we tell our kids. Careful who you associate with. You may be a good guy. You may be a great person. And they're driving the car. But, you know, what do you really know about them? You get pulled over, just, or even DWI checkpoint, and they have warrants and out for them. And next thing you know, you're kind of in trouble because you're associated with them. Drugs in the car, drinking in the car. Something innocent. Joy Junction once was supposed to receive a lot of money because this radio station was doing a fundraiser. And they got a lot of money, and they were kind of picking different charities to donate it to. And I thought, oh, that's kind of neat. Then I heard the next day that Joy Junction refused them because they said it on the air. Oh, how dare they refuse us? How dare they refuse our money? They said they needed money and they've been pleading for money. How come they refused us? Well, there's a local rock station here. And Joy Junction says, we don't want to be associated with your money. Yes, you raised it. Yes, you raised it for a good cause. Yes, we could use it to help us. But we don't want that association. Valley Christian Church gets asked to do or open our buildings to different groups. And as elders, we get together and we discuss this. And we say, what's their main goal? What's their motive? Where do they spend their money and where do they get their money? More times than not, we turn them down. Because we don't want this church associated with that. We don't want the bride of Christ to be linked to something in the world, well, that may come back to blemish the reputation. Not my reputation. Not the elder's reputation. The bride of Christ's reputation. I've thought many times, the lottery's up to, I don't know, $300 million. You win the lottery. Then you want to donate to, let's say, Joy Junction or Bridges. Used to be Albuquerque Rescue Mission. Would they accept it? I know Joy Junction wouldn't accept it. Because they said gambling is an addiction for a lot of people who are homeless. That they gambled everything away. We cannot take money from gambling to help people who are hurting from gambling. It sounds good, but again, careful who you associate with. Let's go on. We're still in Acts. When the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, these men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice. The crowd joined in on the attack of Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in stocks. Dear, severe hardship. That was in Philippi. And after they got chased out of Philippi, they went to Thessalonica. As Christians, when we face hardships, there's sometimes that we just give up. We don't want to do it anymore. We get sick and tired of people rejecting us. I hate rejection. I really hate rejection. I hate people saying no to me. It's hurtful. But like I've told you before, it's not you. People really aren't against you. Something somebody does to you is not against you. They're for themselves. So when you share the gospel with someone, when you tell them that this is correct, this is the way, this is the only way to get to heaven. This is the only way. They reject it. Not because they don't like you, not because they hate your message, or they may hate the message. They hate you. They hate what you stand for. No, because they don't want to change. They like their lifestyle. When they fight against you, it's their lifestyle. It's for them what they want to keep, what they want to hang on to. So it's not against you. That's what should make sharing the gospel make it so easy. It's nothing against you. Well, you're closed-minded. You're narrow-minded. Okay, you're in good company. Because Christ said, I am the way, the only way, not a way, not one of many ways, the way. You're in good company. I got called a black and white fundamentalist by a Catholic bishop. Oh, you're one of those black and white fundamentalists. I took it as a badge of honor. Sure. What do you mean? And I asked him, what do you mean by black and white? Well, you only believe it if it's in the Bible. Well, pretty much. just because of hearsay? Mm-mm. It's like being in middle school or whatever else. You know, Jan says she doesn't like you. Well, who said? Well, her friend said. Well, who cares? She still plays with me at the monkey bars on recess. I push her on the swing, you know. Who cares? I want to see it in black and white. Check yes if you like me. Yeah, I like you. Now we're married and boyfriend, girlfriend, or whatever, I don't know. How can you be that in elementary school? People aren't against you. They're for themselves. And again, they're not going to change because they like their lifestyle. You take a pig, 4-H, take a pig, wash it, scrub it down, brush it, take it to the state fair, win prizes. You have to watch your pig. Why? Because the first thing the pig will want to do is jump back in the mud. You may clean up the pig, but a pig is a pig. It's going to go right back to the mud. I was going to use my nephews, and you take them out, and you give them a bath, and you get them all cleaned up, and you turn your back for a second, and the first thing they're there, I was like, how did you get so dirty? Where'd the dirt come from? You're in the house. How did you get so dirty just from here to there? I don't know. But same with the pig. People aren't going to change their lifestyles. They may change for a second, but they're right back to where they want to be. That's why you need to abide in the Word of God. That's why you need to be in the Word of God. Again, the vine doesn't struggle to produce fruit. God prunes it. God knows you're going to produce fruit. And He prunes it back to the spot to where He's going to get the best fruit. The parts that do not produce fruit, they're gathered up and thrown into the fire. Paul wasn't really bragging about the hardship that they were facing. But if you read the rest of the story in Philippians, in the book of Acts, I'm sorry, verse 25, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a violent earthquake, and the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, because he thought the prisoner has escaped. But Paul shouted, "Do not harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights and rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Does it say that they shared the gospel with him? But by their conduct, by them singing hymns and praises, and I'm sure while they're being jailed and chained up, they may have been talking to the other prisoners about the gospel. They may even talk to the jailer about it. Doesn't mention that. But again, that's one of those side stories that you can find. You find the jailer up there. "Oh, you're the Philippian jailer? What brought you to Christ?" Paul might not have said anything. It doesn't say. We don't know. But singing hymns and psalms, their conduct on how they acted under pressure, they were abiding in the Word. Guess what? Produce fruit. Where's the fruit? "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household." Then he spoke the word to them and to all the others in his house. How'd that happen? Either he brought everybody to the jail from his household, or he took Paul and Silas out. "Hey, come to my house. Let me feed you. Let me take care of your wounds. You're good. You guys aren't going to escape. You had a chance to leave. So I believe you're not going to leave now. Come to my household." It says right there, the jailer brought him to his house and his family were baptized. So the jailer brought him to his house and set a meal before them. And he was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. Black and white fundamentalist. I talked to somebody about that verse because they brought it up. And they said, "See, even a baby could be saved." And I said, "Wait a minute, what?" And he says, "Yeah, him and his whole household." I mean, you would have to assume, it says he and his whole family, you'd have to assume that there was probably a baby in there. No, you don't have to assume. I mean, you know the story when they say, when you assume, you make a you'll figure that one out. Well, you can assume that there were goats and chickens and, you know, other animals there too. Were they saved? He didn't like that. I'm a black and white fundamentalist. If it's not in black and white, I judge it by what's in black and white. Turn over, or turn back again to 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. Chapter 5, 16 through 18. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Be joyful. Doesn't say be happy. Happy has to do with what's happening. But joyful is that deep down contentment with what you have. Paul says, I am content, whether hungry or full, thirsty or satisfied. He was content. We know where we're going. We know where we've been, but we're not going that way anymore. We know where we're going. As Christians, we should be joyful. Not happy, joyful. You're going to jail. Doesn't mean you start, you know, dancing a jig and having, no. Could be something trying. You watch all these shows on TV, these Datelines and 2020 and whatever else, and you find some of the worst people that committed crimes in the outside world went to prison. And when they got to prison, they reformed. Now they're some of the most, they're leading all the gospel studies. They're leading church studies in there. They forgive themselves because they say, Christ forgave me. Who am I to not forgive myself? I hate what I did. I do not like what I did. I wish I could change what I did, but I can't. But I use that as a way to lead other people to Christ, because I say, as bad as I am, Christ accepted me. As bad as you are, Christ can still accept you. The person is bearing much fruit where they're at. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. All circumstances? All circumstances. You got a flat tire? No. Hate that. Your car won't start? Hate that. But it's an opportunity. Who's the person going to come with the jumper cables and jump your car? What can you tell them? God bless you. Thank you very much. Really appreciate it. We are praying for God, praying to God that somebody come and help us, and you stopped and helped. They may have not been thinking that. They just think, oh, I'm going to help this person on the side of the road. Or this person in the parking lot. And there's a chance for you to plant that seed, to abide in God and bear much fruit. Nothing may happen of it. Many years ago, probably about, I think at least 15 years ago, my stepdad and mom broke down on the side of the road. And someone stopped to help them. Needed a little more help than what they, you know, just jumping a car. I know the person's a mechanic. Went and got the part with them. Put the part back in. JC. It was JC who stopped. He used to come to church here when they had the school. And one time that my mom and stepdad were visiting, they ran into him like, this is the guy. This is the guy right here. Just happened to be that way. But just even that little bit, that he's a cowboy, that cowboyism that he does to stop and help people on the way. That's his opportunity. You have somebody who's having a bad day, reached out, helped him out. They were Christians, helped him out. But it kind of helped produce that joy in them. Wow. Even the happiness. Oh, we're on our way. Go to John. John 16. Verses 1 and 2. All this is Jesus speaking. Why? Because you see in some of your Bibles it's in red. But this is Jesus speaking. All this I have told you so that you will not go astray. What all this? Basically everything in John that he was talking to his disciples. Starting from John 13, 14, and 15. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he is offering a service to God. They will do such things because they know not the Father nor me. I have told you this so that when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you. I do not tell you this at first because I was with you. In all things, pray continually, but in all things, in all circumstances, give thanks. Even the bad times, even the bad times. The hard times, even the hard times. When it's really, really dark, yeah. That's when the stars shine. The stars are out now. You go outside, stars are out now. But the sun's out. And it's hard to see them. But when darkness comes out, you go outside and you look. And you get to see the stars. You go camping where there is no residual light. You look up and you're just sitting there laying in a lounge chair, just looking up, sitting beside the fire. And there are so many stars that come out. They look like clouds. You wonder, is that clouds or that's the stars? We sat out there and you'd watch the stars, shooting stars go by. You watch satellites go by. You'd probably watch the International Space Station zoom by. It's really cool to see. But it's the darkest. That's when it's the darkest. That's when the stars shine. Even the smallest stars, even the furthest away stars, you can see them. Daytime, sun's out. Our star, closest star, blocks out all the other stars. But when it's the darkest, when it's the hardest times, that's when we shine. That's why we're abiding in the vine, producing fruit. People see it. I've never met a grouchy Christian that has brought a lot of people to church. Because it's like, wait a minute. If you have this hope, not asking you to be happy and walk around like you're taking happy pills all the time, but you don't have any joy in you. There's nothing that you have that contentment. You're complaining all the time. You're grouchy all the time. Why should I believe you? Last story. Marines. Combat Marines. Second World War. Under fire. Combat. Shock. They get a break. Smoking. Drinking. It was said of Marines that they fight very hard, but they party even harder. The most unruly type of people that you want to meet. But when it was time to fight, they fought. Chaplain came by and he thought, talk to these guys and share the gospel. And they came right to the point. Is there a hell? And he thought, well, these guys, I want to reach these guys. And so he kind of compromised the message. And he says, no, I really don't think there's a hell. And they looked at him and said, then why do we need you? Do not water down the message. Do not change the message. It is not your message. It is God's message to us. It can be difficult to swallow at times, but again, People aren't against you. They're for themselves. They're the pig who's going to jump right back into the mud. Don't water down the message. Speak the message. Speak the truth. Because when you speak the truth to them, there's going to be a circumstance and a time where they're going to come to you, not the grouchy Christian, the joyful Christian, the one who has compassion, the one who knows where they've been and where they're going. That's the person they're going to seek out. Not because you have all the answers, but they want what you have. They want that contentment. They want that joyfulness. And where does that come from? It doesn't come from me. It comes from God. Don't be that grouchy Christian that chases people away. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your words. Thank you for the message. Thank you for even the hardship that we face. That allows us to reach the people that are facing other hardships around us, that are having a difficult time, whether with work, with family, at home. But let us not be that grouchy Christian. Forgive us when we are. Let us find that joyful contentment in you continually. Let us pray continually to reach the lost. Let us schedule time to meet with you, to be in your word, to hear the message, to fellowship with one another, that we can build each other up, but also, like the Thessalonians, that the whole world knows of our faith, of our joy. Let the world know that we follow you, that we're your bride, that we are not associating with the world to get more people in, to make money, to be deceitful. We're telling the truth, your gospel, your message to a lost and dying people. Because we were one of those as well. We're one of those as well. Father, thank you for the people that are here today. Thank you for the message that we hear. But let us be doers of the word and not just mere listeners. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.